In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It would be very easy to read the story of the rich man and Lazarus as a story of reversal of fortunes in the afterlife. After all, Abraham tells the rich man, hey, you got your good things in life, and Lazarus received evil things, and now you're in agony, and Lazarus is comforted. And if that's really what this parable is about, then all of us should go home today and give all of our belongings away and live on the streets. Because compared to the rest of the world, all of us here today are pretty wealthy. Eternity is long, and it would be better to live on the streets for this brief lifetime than to spend eternity in agony. But that's not the point of this parable, so you don't have to do that. Take a little closer look at the rich man. Jesus said he dressed himself in purple and feasted sumptuously every day. And there's only one reason that someone would dress in purple and have a feast every day. A person would only do that in order to let everyone else know how wealthy they were. Royalty wore purple robes because purple was the most expensive color of fabric. And feasts were never a solitary affair. If someone was feasting, they would always invite the prominent people of the community to come over and share in their feast. This man was throwing a lavish dinner party every day. And he was doing it to let everyone know how important he was. In today's terms, it would probably be something like, there was a rich man who drove his Bentley to the country club every day. He wore Armani suits and invited all of his friends to his country club where they feasted on prime rib, lobster, beluga caviar, and Dom Perignon. And he did this every day, and he probably would even invite the editor of the style section from the Plain Dealer to come and let the rest of the world know what a great guy he was and how wealthy he was and how great his friends thought he was. And I think most of us would recognize that such an ostentatious lifestyle is a little bit twisted. The problem isn't so much that the person is wealthy, it's that the person is using that wealth to draw attention to themselves. You see, the love of riches can begin to twist our hearts and our minds. It begins with the simple desire to accumulate more. We say, look at all of this stuff. And then it evolves and twists us a little bit more to make us think that we've made ourselves great. Look at me with all of this stuff. And then in a more twisted way, it evolves in a way that makes us want to show other people how great we are, and we start saying, look at how everyone else treats me because of all of this stuff that I've been able to accumulate. The problem's not the money. The problem is we can sometimes develop a self-centered attitude. If our focus is on ourselves, then eventually we become twisted. And that's exactly what happened to the rich man in this parable. At the rich man's gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. In other words, Lazarus would have been very happy if he could just have had the food that would be thrown to the dogs. He was right at the rich man's gate, but the rich man never showed any kindness to him. He couldn't be bothered with Lazarus because who wants a man covered with sores at your dinner party? Certainly he was aware of his presence, but he couldn't appreciate Lazarus as a fellow son of Abraham. He was so blinded by the desire to have everyone focus on him and his wealth that he developed a character that was blind toward the needs of his brother. And even in the afterlife, the rich man held on to this attitude. From his place in torment, the rich man saw Lazarus seated at the place of honor next to Abraham. Now the rich man was experiencing the torment that Lazarus had been experiencing all of his life. And we might expect the rich man to say something like, "Lazarus, I'm sorry that I ignored you every day. I'm sorry that I never appreciated you as a fellow son of Abraham." But instead, the rich man doesn't even address Lazarus. He doesn't really acknowledge Lazarus. He thought it was beneath him to talk to Lazarus. So instead, the rich man tells Abraham, "Hey, can you send Lazarus to me to comfort me in my torment? Can you send Lazarus to warn my brothers that this fate awaits them? Abraham, send your errand boy, that Lazarus who's seated at the place of honor next to you. I don't know why he's there, but can you have him get busy serving me?" In the midst of torment, the rich man still looked at Lazarus as not on an equal level with him. Now, we don't have to be very wealthy to suffer from the same malady as the rich man in the parable. When our focus becomes acquiring stuff for ourselves, we start down the path that the rich man had taken. When our desire is to be esteemed by others, we start down the path of the rich man. The rich and poor alike can fall prey to these kinds of temptations. In our reading from 1 Timothy today, Paul wrote, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds and generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of that life that is life." When we consider our material possessions, we must not be arrogant. Rather, we must remember that everything that we have has been entrusted to us by the Lord. It's the Lord who created it. It's the Lord who gave us the ability to get it. The rich man in the parable thought that his wealth made him great. And in contrast, Abraham told him, "In your life you received good things." Abraham didn't say you got good things for yourself. He said you received them. What do we have that we did not receive by a gift from the Lord? Paul also said to tell them to be rich in good deeds, generous, and willing to share. If everything that we have is the result of a gift from the Lord, we might do well to ask ourselves what the Lord might want us to do with it. For what purpose has He allowed us to acquire it? Paul said that these things were given to us so that we could be generous. Rather than feasting with his prominent friends every day, the rich man in the parable might well have invited Lazarus one day to sit at his table, to feed this man, this fellow brother, this fellow son of Abraham, the food that he had so much of. And Paul says that if those who are rich remain humble and are generous, they will be able to take hold of the life that is truly life. Love that phrase. The life that is truly life. Because so often we're busy existing, but we're not really living. when we do things like go to the Metanoia Hospitality Center or Eliza Jennings or to sit with hospice patients, there's a sense of life that we get there that we can never get if we hoard all of our time and our gifts and our money for ourselves. When you can share your time or your wealth or your gifts with someone else, there's a sense of life in that act because that's how God created you to live. Eternal life is a life of love. And we get a taste of eternal life when we act out of love in the here and now. I mentioned Eliza Jennings and Metanoia and Hospice, but you know, we don't have to wait for those opportunities. The rich man's mission field was quite literally at his front gate, but he refused to see it. Our mission field surrounds us every day if we're willing to see it. It may not be quite as obvious as a beggar covered there with sores laying in our path, but if we're willing to really see people, we will discover opportunities to be generous every day. It might be a neighbor who just needs someone to talk to. It might be a single mother struggling to make ends meet who would just love to have someone drop off a basket of fresh produce. It's kind of expensive to feed children right these days. It might be a recent immigrant who needs some guidance navigating something as simple as registering their child for school. The mission field is right here if we're willing to see it. If we are willing to see it and willing to be generous with the gifts that the Lord has entrusted to our care, if we're willing to open our eyes to those with whom we can share our gifts, then we can take hold of that life that is truly life. I share this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.